Bibles, please, for our Old Testament reading to Genesis chapter 49. What we would call, children, you're going to learn a new word, the penultimate chapter of Genesis. Penultimate means the chapter before last. Then there's the peripenultimate. That's the one before that. Not that you need to know those words, but Genesis chapter 49, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. Because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defiledst thou it. He went up to my couch. Simeon and Levi are brethren. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. O my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly, mine honor, be not thou united. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they digged down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob, and scatter them in Israel. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. And unto him shall be the gathering, unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Binding his foal unto the vine, and his ass's colt unto the choice vine, he washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth white with milk. Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of the sea, and shall be for an haven of ships, and his border shall be unto Zidon. Issachar is a strong ass couching down between two burdens. And he saw that rest was good, and the land it was pleasant, and bowed his shoulder to bear, and became a servant unto tribute. Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path, that biteth the horse heels, so that his rider shall fall backward. I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. Gad, a troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. Out of Asher, his bread shall be fat. He shall yield royal dainties. Naphtali is a hind let loose. He giveth goodly words. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him, but his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Even by the God of thy father who shall help thee, and by the Almighty who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above and blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breasts and of the womb. The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of thy progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. Benjamin shall raven as a wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is it that their father spake unto them and blessed them. Every one according to his blessing, he blessed them. And he charged them and said unto them, I am to be gathered unto my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephron the Hittite for a possession of a burying place. There they buried Abraham and Sarah his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah his wife. And there I buried Leah. The purchase of the field and of the cave that is therein was from the children of Heth. And when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. This is such a great chapter. It's got so much going on in it. The structure of it is first indicative of something very, very important. Notice two things here, that there are two of the sons that are blessed above the rest, Jacob and Joseph. Sorry, Judah and Joseph. Thank you. The interesting thing about that is that, so for the blessing of Joseph, notice how quickly the sons are listed. It is as if Jacob is rushing to get to Joseph. But he doesn't rush to get to Judah. And why is that? Because there's a matter of justice that needs to be handled. The matter of justice in that Judah's three older brothers would not receive the right of primogeniture. Why did they not receive it? Because they had sins that prevented them. And so there is a right of justice here at the beginning of this. And then there is Judah. And then we rush to Joseph, the second blessed son above the rest. So Judah and Joseph receive the lion's share, if you will, of the blessing, which is indeed quite interesting. And yet, notice also that it is Judah that will receive that greatness of the line of Messiah. And so we speak of the lion of the tribe of Judah, that Judah is a lion's whelp, right? So structurally, we see that Judah and Joseph receive great blessing. It's an interesting thing to note, right? Because Judah, really, in birth order, was fourth. Yet he was the one, after all of the elder brethren forfeited their rights. And then also Joseph, because remember that Jacob always believed him to be his covenant heir because he was born of his beloved wife. Yet we note also, structurally in the passage, Jacob will say, there in the cave of Machpelah buried I Leah, not Rachel. And so we remember poor Leah, don't we, who thought all her life that she was hated of her husband, yet it was Leah that was buried in the family, in the covenant plot, and it was the son of Leah that would rise up to be the progenitor of Messiah. These are great things to remember. What comforts then Leah would know someday. She just needed to wait a bit till those things came to pass. All right, so the blessings then are pretty clear. But there are some things that are hidden in them, I think, or perhaps not lying on the surface. The first thing that we want to understand here is that Jacob calls his sons and he will command them. And he does so as the leader of the covenant people. This is more than just a father blessing his children. This is that prophetic word from the prophet of the day, Jacob, as the head of the covenant people, the head of the church, if you will, on earth. And so notice that he speaks as that covenant patriarch of the promise of Messiah. Let me tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. These are Jacob is saying something like this. This is what will lead to Messiah's days. You 12 tribes, you, my sons, you will bring in the days of Messiah. That promise will come, and it will come through your hands, and you will, your lines will see it. Because as the Apostle Paul will write, it is what? This gospel comes to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Right? Why do you think the Apostle Paul, and just think about this, maybe you're in a position to have your mind blown, okay? Where did Paul go first in every city? The synagogue. Why? Because that was the church of those days. And when Messiah came to earth, he came to the Jew first and also to the Greek. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even to them that believed upon his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Okay, so Jacob is standing in that very stream that will terminate in Messiah. And so he says, let me tell you, my sons, what's going to happen in the last days. So then, Reuben, the beginning of my... Oh, sorry. He identifies himself by both of his names. You see the significance of that? First he says, I am your father, Jacob. Hear ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel, your father. Verse 2. I am the supplanter, and yet I am one who has power with God. And so hear me. Hear me in my weakness, and hear me in the grace of God. And this is how he speaks to his sons. So then he begins with Reuben, the firstborn, my might, the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, the excellency of power. Oh, Reuben, you're too much like your dad. Unstable as water. Right? This would be Reuben, you've taken after Jacob and not Israel. And so he has defiled his father's bed. And so the rights of standing as that covenant inheritor do not rest with him. Then he turns to Simeon and Levi, the next two. And he says, you're going to be scattered and cursed because of your anger. And yet, don't we note that on the one hand, Simeon was scattered throughout Judah and had maybe several cities and that was all, but no border of his own. But so was Levi, scattered throughout the 12 tribes and yet became such a blessing to the rest of the nation. And so even in that scattering, one was sort of nondescript with very little to hear from through the rest of the history of Israel, and the other pivotal. The priest's lips should keep knowledge, for they should seek the law of God at his mouth, is how Malachi will put it. Malachi will also say, he shall purify the sons of Levi. That is speaking of Messiah. Then we come to Judah. And Judah is spoken of in these terms as the great inheritor. He is that lion. All thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Not to Joseph. Although it was Joseph who had the dream, it was temporally fulfilled. But the son of Judah, he will be ruler among his brethren. As Jacob here prophesies. And so he is a lion, and he will rise up. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. Well, that word Shiloh is very interesting. It just means the days of Messiah. And so notice that Judah, the tribe of Judah, will have that rulership. And of course, David is a Judahite. And it is the kingdom of David that will advance. And that goes all the way to that greatest son of David, not Solomon, but Christ himself. And when Shiloh come to him, Shiloh, or Judah in Shiloh, depending on how you read it, shall the gathering of the people be. And so even the patriarch Jacob here in 8 through 11 makes Christ the focus of the covenant. It's to him that they shall be gathered. Zebulun then, of course, Judah's name means praise. We remember that, don't we? Zebulun means dwelling or haven. And notice that's his blessing. Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of the sea, and he shall be for an haven of ships, and his border shall be unto Zidon, or Sidon, that's up there in the north and west. Issachar means service or tribute. He's as a strong ass couching between two burdens. He saw that rest was good, but he became a servant unto tribute, and that's what Issachar means. Dan, judge, right? But unjust. Dan becomes an unjust judge. He judges his own inheritance, not worthy of his love and honor, and so he leaves his habitation. And so he stands for the supplanter, the one who truly nips after the heel in unjust judgment of the blessings of God. Gad, a troop shall come. And of course, that's what Gad means. But notice, a troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. Out of Asher, and Asher means blessedness. His bread shall be fat, and he shall yield royal dainties. Naphtali is a hind let loose. What does Naphtali mean? You remember? Wrestling. It means wrestling with great wrestlings. You remember? That's what she said. But notice, he's a hind let loose. That is, he will wrestle himself into liberty, if you will. He giveth goodly words. And now we read Joseph. And Joseph means increase or fruitfulness. And he shall be a fruitful bough. Of course, we see that, don't we? We've already seen it in the crossing over of the hands and the blessing of Ephraim with the right hand. And Ephraim becomes what? That northern kingdom tribe out of the ten that is so populous, the northern kingdom often goes by the name of Ephraim. And so Joseph will be fruitful in Ephraim in that way, but also even beyond that, notice what Jacob says about him. Do you remember how Isaac blessed Joseph? Sorry, Isaac blessed Jacob? You remember that? He gave him the blessings of the breasts, the blessings of fruitfulness, right, and the dew of heaven and all of that. Notice that Jacob repeats that here upon Joseph. Did you hear what he says? The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. So you have the blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breast, blessings of the womb, and so on. Jacob gives to Joseph the blessing that he received from his father Isaac. And then Benjamin shall raven as a wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil. Interestingly, only Judah and Benjamin are blessed with this kind of blessing of the animal kingdom of those who take the prey, the lion and the wolf. And we remember something that distinguishes Judah and Benjamin from the rest of the tribes, don't we? What distinguishes them? They are in the southern kingdom where the worship of God is maintained. And so we see then that kind of companionship in proper worship, and that as a means of overcoming the prey. Beloved, worship is important to God. So then we come to the end of the chapter here, this final section, 28 through 33, and we have this final command. Not only did he command his 12 sons particularly, but he commanded them all together, didn't he? And what did he tell them to do? What is the dying wish of the dying patriarch? Bury me in the cave of Machpelah. I don't belong here. I'm not an Egyptian. Don't bury me here. Take me where my people are. Notice it says at the end of the passage, that he drew up his feet into the bed and was gathered unto his people. The Lord didn't wait until he was buried in the cave of Machpelah to gather him unto his people. His soul immediately went to be with those who had gone before him. And in testimony to that, his body will be taken to the cave of Machpelah, where he will be buried alongside his grandfather and his father and his wife. Oh, beloved, this is a wonderful, wonderful testimony of Jacob's faith. There was a time when Jacob didn't know who he was. He couldn't even say his own name right. And now he says, bury me where I belong. This is the faith of the dying patriarch. And we must stand back and watch in awe of the work of God upon a man that he dealt with for well over 100 years to bring him to faith in Jesus Christ. What a wonderful story it is. Kind of chokes you up to think about it. All right, with that then, we're out of time. Let's stand and continue.